Now it's time to open up the pages of the Washington Post magazine, something we do just about every week for interesting stories about the way we live now. Today we have a story about a true test of the strength of both body and mind. Every year for the past 24 years, a group of elite runners has assembled in the California desert for a 135-mile race known as the Badwater Ultramarathon. They climb well over 8,000 feet in a race that takes them from the Badwater Basin of Death Valley to Whitney Portal, which leads up to the highest point in the contiguous United States. Runners battle 115-degree temperatures, fatigue, hallucinations, all for a belt buckle and bragging rights. Three runners who competed in this year's race are profiled in this week's Washington Post magazine, and one of them is Michael Wardian, who is nice enough to ride his bike over to our D.C. studios. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And you don't even look sweaty.
I didn't ride very hard.
Oh, okay. Now, you know, people who participate in or follow other extreme sports will probably understand, you know, the appeal of this, or perhaps even anybody who participates in any sport where there's the possibility of pain or injury. For people who don't, can you try to explain the appeal? Because I'm sure some people are listening to this and thinking, what?
Yeah.
Why?
It's incredible. I get that question all the time. Like, you know, I think a lot of people say, like, oh, I can't drive my car that far, or you know, I don't even like being in the car for that long. Because it took me 26 hours, 22 minutes, and 1 second to finish the race. So basically, you're up for more than a day, and that doesn't appeal to a lot of people.
Well, why does it appeal to you? Tell what's in it for you. Why do you like it?
I love it because for me, it's all about the challenge. So it's something that I like to try and really explore my boundaries and test my limits. And there's something just unbelievably addictive about that. You get this amazing sense of accomplishment, but you also, for me, it's become, you know, my first thing was to run to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And that was my first goal. And then I was able to do that at the Marine Corps Marathon. And then I pushed to, like, someone telling me, oh, you couldn't run three marathons in a month. And so then I did that. And then, you know, there's people that are saying, oh, you can't run 135 miles in the desert in Death Valley in July, over two mountain ranges, finishing at the highest point in the continental U.S. And you think to yourself, well, there's people that can do that. I can maybe do that. And then, well, let's see if I can do that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's all about trying to explore that. And then to be able to do it, you know, working with a full-time job and then having a couple of small kids in the house and you know, trying to manage all that at the same time as competing on this elite level is something that I find really unbelievably exciting and something I enjoy doing.
Well, to that end, one of the other runners profiled in the piece said, quote, some people buy fancy cars or boats. Some people have children. That's an expense they'll have for 20 years. For me, this is my child. But, you know, unlike this runner, you are married. You are the father of two kids.
Yeah.
And so is this hobby like a third child? I'm wondering how you kind of manage that, given your other responsibilities. How do you, in a way, justify it, given the fact that you could die? I mean, forgive me, but you could.
Yeah, no, you definitely are exposing yourself to some risks that other people aren't taking. But I mean, I think that you can argue that, you know, you expose. I ride my bike rather than run, you know, drive to work, and you know, you could get in a car crash, or I could, you know, be hit by a car on the way to work, and or when I go out for my run, you know, or. You know, I think there's a lot of different dangers involved in everything we do, and I try to be safe, and a lot of these races are well supported, and so, you know, if you have a team,
you don't just run out there for 135 miles by yourself. You have a team.
In fact, yeah, exactly.
Your brother was part of your team.
Yeah, my brother Matthew was part of my team. I had Jay, Ian, Vince, Andy, Rick Poppleton. So a lot of people that were invested in making sure that I did come home, and I make sure that I get my wife's approval and my kids are on board with it. And then also I have my clients, you know, that I'm responsible for making sure that, you know, they have representation. So I want to make sure that I'm around to fulfill all my obligations. So, you know, I do some extreme races, but you know, it's always with lots of preparation involved and you know, make sure that I have everything I need. I have some great sponsors that make sure that I'm taken care of. So,
in fact, there is a very lovely passage where there was a point at which you hit the wall, if I can use that term, or did you kind of feel like you were hitting, your body started to shut down and you were really having a tough go of it? And the piece describes, you know, how the members of your team kind of helped pull you through. Could you talk about that just briefly, if you would, about what that feels like when you feel like you're hitting the wall? Do you have a sense of despair, like, oh my goodness, I put all this into this, I'm not gonna finish.
For sure. You definitely have that feeling. Yeah. Thinking, oh no, I'm gonna let down my family. It was my son's birthday, actually, his fifth birthday. So I'm actually locked down for the next 3 years. Wherever I am, Pierce and I are gonna be together. But he's already made sure of that. But
you're saying I'm missing my son's birthday and I'm not even going to finish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, that's one of the things that run through your head. You've made this sacrifice to be at this event. You've coordinated it with your sponsors and your work and the clients we represent, and you know, all these people are counting on you to do your best. And you know, there's a point where, you know, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore, and you have to draw within yourself. And because it's easy to say, well, you know, you can explain it. You know, it's hot. You know, it's hard. You know, it's not fun anymore. But that's what I love is you have to reach down within yourself, and it's all about you at that point.
Is there one thing that pulled you through it?
I think knowing that all the guys that were there were with me and helping me through it. Yeah.
You gonna do it again?
I'd like to try and do it again for sure.
And if I call your wife, what's she going to say?
I think she'd be on board for it. She was impressed. She's one of my biggest supporters.
Well, I'm glad to hear, but I'm going to call her and ask her something. Michael Wardian is a long-distance runner. He was one of the three ultra-marathoners profiled in the Washington Post magazine this week. If you'd like to read that piece in its entirety, and we hope you will, we'll link to it on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on the Programs tab, and then on Tell Me More. Michael Wardian, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Just ahead, most people want to be more attractive, but when does it become an obsession?
I got a little bit of lipo on my tummy area because I'm so vain, and I really wanted to have my nostrils taken in. And when I learned that I didn't need to break my nose, I was in.
We go behind closed doors to talk about this with celebrity plastic surgeon Dr. Anthony Yoon. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.